Real Bad is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. If you want to explore more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head over to cageclub.me and check out some of our friends. Hello and welcome to another episode of Real Bad, the podcast where we talk about real bad movies and why they want to hurt us. I'm your host, Nick Jenkins. Today I am joined by three friends. First, Sarah Suda.
Hello.
Amy Roberts.
Hello.
And Matthew Gatos.
Yep.
And today we are doing a movie submitted by Black Duck Studios and voted on by the patrons. It is Ghoulies. 1984, I believe?
Yep.
Nailed it.
Dang.
I've been doing that a lot lately. I'm committing way more to memory than I should. But 1984's Ghoulies from Empire Pictures, which I'll talk a little bit about Empire Pictures because I actually have I'm about 50-50 on Empire Pictures. Unlike Canon, where everything is pretty much crap, I don't feel that way about Empire. So sure. We'll talk a little bit about that. But before we do, we have to do a 60-second plot dump, and that's going to be Amy.
No.
I feel like this is a pretty simple 60 seconds, maybe. I don't know. I had to do last week's, and I did not do very well.
Ooh. I didn't know you ever did them.
Oh, no. Yeah. Nicole just went off.
There was a mutiny.
Whoa. Yeah.
I got picked 2 weeks in a row, and I
got
knew
mad
it
about it.
Well, I knew it was going to be very, very bad audio entertainment for the peoples. So then Nicole suggested that Nick should do it, and I thought that was a great idea, too. So.
And I agreed. I was like, fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not doing it today. 60-second plot.
I watched this on Tuesday. Okay. Yeah,
but you have notes.
I do have notes.
Yes.
I can't read them.
That's usually what happens to me. I'm like, wow, my handwriting is so pretty, and I can't read it at all.
Nope.
All right. 60-second plot dump of Ghoulies in 3, 2, 1.
All right. There's a guy with glowing green eyes and horns, and he's satanic and, like, doing rituals, and there's people in white, and then they're going to kill a baby. But then a woman's like, you said no babies. And he's like, wah. And then she puts a necklace on him, and so he can't touch the baby for some reason.
Can't harm the baby.
Yeah. And then fast forward, and the baby is now Jonathan, who is a man who looks like he's in his 40s, but I think is 25. And his girlfriend, fiance, wife living in a brand new house.
No, it's a very old house.
Yes.
It's brand new for them.
To them. Very old house. He suddenly realizes that he can conjure up spirits, and at a party asks all of his friends if they're like, you want to play Pictionary? And he's like, let's do a demonic ritual. And they're like, cool, let's do it. So he like summons spirits and then gains more power, and then he's cursed, maybe kind of, and then his dad comes back, and then he fights some old guy, and they both disappear, I think. And then the end.
You didn't even mention the Ghoulies.
And there
that shows you how relevant they are.
There were also Ghoulies.
Little monsters that are summoned up, or people are turned into, or just appear.
The wet puppets, yeah. as I like to call them.
Wet puppets.
Good wet puppets.
As we said on Slack, there's so much goop.
Oh, yeah. So much goop.
Such good goop.
Such good okay, so before we dive into this, let's just talk a little bit about Empire Pictures. Empire Pictures was started by Charles Band in the early 80s, and they made a lot of low-budget movies. They were very much like a Corman production, more so than Canon. I think Canon wanted to be top flight. Like, Canon wanted to make...
They had dreams of grandeur.
But... Empire, Charles Band, and the people that worked with him, they wanted to make good movies, but they didn't want to make big budget movies. They wanted to fill a very specific role, and that was like straight to video or B-level stuff like that. And they did it. They made a lot of things. Critters was very successful. At the time when it came out, it was their most successful picture. And I think it cost under $1 million to make, and it made $5 million at the box office. So that's pretty good. And that was sort of their routine. They would release a very inexpensive but generally well-made movie, generally. And then hopefully it would drum up business on its own. So they did a couple films that I'll talk about later, Reanimator.
That's the only one of theirs that I'd seen before.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I strongly recommend From Beyond, which is sort of a spiritual sequel to Reanimator.
Reanimator was very upsetting to me.
Reanimator is very upsetting, but it's also a comedy?
Kind of.
How long has it been since you've watched it?
It was in college. So it's been
like 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would suggest watching it again. It's free to stream on Amazon.
Okay.
It's fucked up though. I understand. It's so
there's only one thing I remember strongly about it.
I think we all know what the scene is.
Yeah.
I've never seen the film. I don't know what the scene
is. It's okay.
It's okay. You've seen American Beauty, right?
Yes.
Well, they mention it in American Beauty.
Oh.
So.
I'll go back in my time machine 20 years ago when I watched American Beauty.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I love Reanimator, and I love From Beyond, and Stuart Gordon made a bunch of films that I really like, and he made them with Empire. They went on to make things like Trancers and, it's leaving my brain. Hold on.
What is Trancers?
Trancers is a Tim Thomerson movie. It's about...
'Cause it sounds like it's a Scanners ripoff.
Or Transformers, but like with fewer letters.
How do we not get sued? Yeah, I'll take some of the letters out.
They'll never know.
It would have been before Transformers.
Oh.
So
before the cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. Ooh. I don't know. Anyway, no, it was about like a time traveling cops.
Sure.
I think.
Time cops.
It's been a long time.
No. It's nothing like Time Cops.
Time Cop? Actually decent Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Mm. Who knew? Anyway, so they did a bunch of stuff, but Troll is also one of their, not Troll 2, but Troll, was one of their biggest hits. And then they started running into financial problems in the mid to late 80s and eventually just went belly up. And then Charles Band formed a new production house called Full Moon Pictures that is still around today. I think they're still doing stuff today. And they have a really large library, and a couple of things I've watched just like on Amazon streaming will be movies that are like, this is not a good movie, but it's also not really a bad movie. Like, it's competently made,
sure,
but it's dumb.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's trying to do something that is well out of its reach. Like, that's another thing. There was one I watched that they're trying to invent a new superhero, basically. And it's like, not good, but also not the worst thing I've ever seen. Not even the worst superhero thing I've ever seen. So there's a lot of that. So I have a lot of respect for a lot of the stuff they did. When they worked with the right directors, they got some interesting results. Like, I hold Reanimator very highly. I think it's an interesting, weird, messed up film. Sarah, I'm interested. What are your thoughts on Reanimator?
You know, I have seen clips. I've never seen it the whole way through.
Really? That
I know.
Surprises
it's
me.
It's on the list of things I should have seen by now. But it, like, I've seen Cemetery Man multiple times. Does that count?
Rupert Everett.
Yeah.
Anybody else seen Cemetery Man?
Nope.
Yeah. I've only seen the trailer.
Oh, okay. And the trailer it's really fun.
The trailer's
super
epic.
Fun. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So that's Empire Pictures. Let's talk about Ghoulies.
Yeah.
Sarah,
what
I think...
a novel concept.
on this podcast.
We'll circle back.
Yeah.
So, actually, Amy, I think you did a really good job of breaking it down. There's not a lot to it.
No.
Except you did leave out the Ghoulies, which are these little minions, I guess, that
little puppet dudes.
The guy's father is able to summon, and then he's able to summon...
Sweet little gloopy babies.
Little gloopy babies.
There's no real, like... I don't know. They all look very different from each other. Like, one looks kind of like a rat.
There's water
like
ghoulies, and there's land ghoulies, and there's sky ghoulies.
There's tree ghoulies.
Why
tree ghoulies.
Are they all wet? Except for the clown, and then a wet one comes out of his face.
Does that clown count as a ghoulie? Or is he just
I don't
being
know.
Like a
it's the
80s.
If you
no,
have...
there's a ghoulie in it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He face
but
bursts
not
out
a
of him.
Ghoulie.
I don't know.
No, I think he was just full of ghoulies.
Full of ghoulies. I hate when that happens.
Oh.
Yeah, because that lady got full of ghoulies. We assume, like, at the beginning, there's a part where, you know, they're the magic, they're having a wizard's fight or whatever.
And, not even. He's just punishing her.
Yeah. And so the lady who has made the head of the cult very angry, she suddenly starts having this pulsating thing in her sternum. And so you have to assume that alien situation is about to occur. But it really seems like either the special effects people, like, got cold feet or the budget was not in it or they cut it so they could get PG-13. Like, who knows? But that you do not see any chest bursting at all.
I assume she turned into a ghoulie.
I thought he was, like, taking her heart out. with the Force.
Oh, like a Kali Ma kind of a...
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
I like that we have three
know.
Interpretations of this one scene.
It was just
I
like a wet sound was, effect.
I assumed
and then
it was an alien thing and
black.
A ghoulie was going to pop out, oh. which would have been great and a perfect time to have like the titles come out of its face or something, but no.
I mean, that
I
makes sense. The titles being next makes sense, especially if it's like it pops out, and then
yeah.
ghoulies.
Ghoulies!
As it stands, though, the film isn't telling us that.
No, we don't know.
You see her.
It is
trying
a lost
to pick a baby.
Thread there.
Yeah.
No, you just see her chest sort of bulge.
I know.
And
what
then,
a tease.
Yeah. And
special
then they cut.
Effects tease.
I thought it was her heart. But also, here's a question. She gives the baby a necklace, and she's like, "Haha, I foiled your plans." And then we don't know what that is. Why that protects him, and like,
there's a lot of questions. That
we
I
were
have
talking
about, this movie.
About the lore and just how like they're just like,
yeah. There's a lot of just roll with it.
There's a lot of what I will call laziness involved in this movie that I think is kind of unfortunate because I like movies like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love you move into the haunted house and there's creepy crawlers in the haunted house and oh, actually this dude's in control of them and stuff.
It's
like
the plot of most Lovecraft things, really.
Yeah.
You inherited a house from a relative you didn't know. Oh no, there are monsters in it? Who knew?
Yeah, like I dig that, but the lore in here is not very well put together.
No.
But there's also a bit, like, I guess we're going to start with me.
It's happening.
I've never seen Ghoulies before, which is surprising to me because, like, I was into Critters and Gremlins. This could be considered kind of a Gremlins knockoff.
Sure. It came out before. It was being made before it, supposedly.
Ooh.
Well, this is the weird thing. So
they
apparently
came out at the same time, pretty much.
Apparently, Critters was also written before Gremlins.
Oh, man.
But it was released after it.
Mm.
Weird teeny dudes were just in the collective unconscious. Yeah. Everybody was like, ugh, teeny things.
We need them.
We need them. But only one of them had Joe Dante as a director to make it work.
Exactly.
So
yeah, Gremlins has heart.
And in one of them, they weren't allowed to get wet.
Yeah, that was the rule. Yeah. The moment like the water started happening, I was like, oh, is this allowed? I was like, right, this isn't Gremlins. It is nothing like Gremlins, other than it kind of sounds like maybe a Gremlins ripoff.
Yeah, but I'd seen Ghoulies 2, which is a little bit, I think, of a better film.
Whoa.
Ghoulies 2 involves a circus.
Sure.
It's like a circus that's in danger of being shut down by the young.
And the ghoulies have to come together to raise enough money to keep the circus
going. No, the ghoulies just kind of wreak havoc. But
they put on a show.
I mean,
we
kind
have to
of.
Save the circus.
That's
circus.
That's kind of sort of. Anyway, it's a better made film, which is weird. There was a lot of that in the 80s, I feel like, where the first one's and the second one's better. How did that happen? So
they used the first one to get money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one's a pilot, and the second one is the series.
Well, there's so
Evil
canon.
Dead 1 and 2.
Yes. That's a very good point. There was a film series called Missing in Action with Chuck Norris. And they hired, they did the first film, they shot it. And then they hired, I think his name is Joseph Zito, who directed Friday the 13th 4, which is like the best Friday the 13th movie.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Hot take.
I have opinions. It's definitely the best Friday the 13th sequel.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Anyway, he's a decent director and he's done some good work. He got hired to do the sequel before they had finished directing the first Missing in Action.
Oh.
And he said, whoa, this first one is a hunk of hot garbage. Why don't we release mine first as the first one? And then you can release the second one later on. And they did that. So if you watch Missing in Action 1, it was actually shot shot after Missing in Action.
It was clearer before you started explaining it.
Once I tried to explain it, it all fell apart.
2-1. Done.
Missing in Action 1 was actually filmed as Missing in Action 2, but they added some flashback stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Missing in Action 2 was actually Missing in Action 1, and they did some stuff to make that make sense. So it's weird shit happening in the 80s, and I love it.
Can you imagine being like, this director's piece is a piece of garbage. You release mine first.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you imagine, being that director who gets told that? No, we're going to release, yours is going to be a part 2.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
So. We heard it's garbage from the guy who says his movie's better. So we trust him.
It's hot garbage, but it's still garbage.
Yeah.
So, I liked Ghoulies 2. Watched this one, and I was a little bit into it before I realized, oh, I've never seen this, which was weird. I figured I had. I have some real problems with this, which we'll get into, and they all come back to some laziness in the storytelling. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to dive too deep into that just yet. Now, Sarah, I think you really enjoyed this.
I had so much fun.
Okay, why? So tell us, why did you enjoy this movie?
Well, I mean, it like checks so many boxes of things that I want in a silly movie. It's got a cult. It's got a guy who is somewhere between like Klaus Kinski, David Lee Roth, and Brad Dourif being head of this cult.
Yeah.
It's got Jack Nance. Jack Nance!
Eraserhead himself.
I know! It's got weird little puppets, like animatronic-y a little bit, but they're like, they're nice. The design is fun on them. They're gloopy. I love gloopy movies. I just want it to be so wet. And this, like, it did. It didn't have as much gore as I was from the trailer. I was pretty sure it wouldn't have any, and it didn't have any really. And that's okay. But yeah, the characters all acted like people in general. Like when he's doing the seance, his friends are like, ha ha, this is stupid. And it's like, how people would do.
They stood there for so long waiting for something to happen.
He invited them
and
to the house.
They agreed to it.
Sarah, if you invite me over to your house and you say, hey, let's do a seance, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to produce a creature. If nothing happens, I will be gone.
Or
they're trying to be supportive.
Or it could be like if one of your friends is like, oh, you want to do like a ritual in the basement? It's like, oh, yeah, it'll be fun, instead of him being like, shut up, stay in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, why would, if your friend did that and was like, let's do it, and you're like, okay, this will be fun. And
also, the
like,
options on the table were Trivial Pursuit, like freaking
Pictionary,
strip poker, and then Satanic Ritual.
This is something that I want to talk about that we've come up with. The Mutilator?
Yeah.
Fall back.
Yeah, no, I definitely thought about that during that scene, because it's like, these are strange suggestions for adults to at a party to say.
Yes.
This is a weird thing. So in the movie, I don't know.
Before people
Matt,
had
I
TV.
I was on that one.
Okay. So, Amy, there's this wonderful, this is a really terrible movie called The Mutilator.
Can't even pretend.
No. It's bizarre.
It has a theme song, though.
It does.
Just pretty
Which you get to hear two times. But in it, it's a slasher film, and it's teenagers in a house, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, at one point or another, decide, oh, let's play a game. All right, Blind Man's Bluff, which is just hide and seek in the dark.
They said hide and seek.
Yes, that was one of the suggestions in this film as
and
well.
And then I, in college, was in a terrible play. I'm sorry, Karina Rost, but it was terrible. Where a bunch of college kids are in a house and they decide, oh, let's play hide and seek. And I'm like, who the fuck?
I do think, though, for in this movie would be one of the only times that I would say hide and seek could kind of be.
Because you have a giant mansion.
Because it's an enormous mansion that none of them have gone all the way through.
But you're still an adult.
But still weird.
But you're also.
Still weird.
I think you can get away with, obviously, I think we have all been like, part of nights where you play like Trivial Pursuit or board game stuff, but that doesn't usually happen after a rager.
No.
They all hang out. There's like 30, 40 people in this house getting drunk. And at the end of the night, like eight of them settle down and they're like, what should we do? Hide and seek? And it's like, what?
This is how you end a party? Most people would be like, we're going to bed.
Yeah.
The party is over. We're either going to stay up and continue drinking and just chat, or we're going to bed. There's no,
no time for Trivial Pursuit.
So I'll talk a little bit more about how I disagree with you about the friends acting realistically. But please continue.
Okay. I like that in the end, like all the cult stuff, wizardy fight at the end felt so Corman, like so very, very like the end of The Raven,
just
where they have the wizard fight. Ah, yeah, exactly.
I'm making lightning bolt things from my eyes with my fingers.
It's real good.
Going choo-choo.
Yes, that's what they did, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the special effects are fun. I loved his dad popping out of that grave.
Oh, that puppet
was so
was
good.
Fucking great.
So good.
I mean, it's not even a puppet, I don't think. It was just a
Halloween
it
decoration.
Moved a bit,
it was
though.
Great.
But
they, like,
it was
shoved
some motion
ground,
to it.
And like the next shot,
yeah.
It cut back. It's the actor there.
It legitimately
it really
caught
fun.
Me off guard.
It was really
like,
good.
When that thing popped out of the ground, I legitimately was like, whoa. Okay, and then yeah, they cut to them, and then they cut back, and it's the actor. But that was a really good puppet.
Really fun, yeah. But yeah, it was fun. Costumes were great. Like, everybody's outfits were super fun and ridiculous, and I enjoyed that. Yeah, very 80s, very silly.
Oh, for those of you that didn't know, yeah. This, speaking of their outfits, so there are a bunch of sequences in here where they're all wearing sunglasses.
It was supposed to be in 3D.
It was supposed to be. Those scenes were supposed to be shot in 3D.
Which is great.
And so whenever anybody in the film put on sunglasses, it was a signal to the audience for you to put on your 3D glasses.
Yeah.
And then they shot one scene that way and went, this is too hard.
Yeah.
And they said, fuck it. We'll just.
Yeah, no. It's better to quit while you're ahead with that sort of thing.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But
they made it make sense. So they were like, our eyes are glowing and we don't want you to know.
Yeah.
In some scenes, our eyes are glowing. If the camera's far enough away, they're not glowing.
Yeah, different angles, our eyes don't glow. Yeah. Only our close-ups.
Also, interesting thing.
Mm.
So at the beginning, the father,
yep.
the big bad
yep.
wizard, his eyes are definitely post-production. Like, you know, airbrushed or something. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like that. But it looked like the son was wearing contacts.
I think it was contacts with...
Yeah.
Post-production, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
I think it's contacts with a UV light that you shine, like, real bright, real close, which is why they had to be close for it to work.
That makes sense.
I only really know this because I know that's how they did it in Forever Night.
the show or the movie?
Do they even light up in the movie?
I don't remember if they do.
It's
All I remember
wild.
It was Rick Springfield.
It is.
This episode is like a list of things that I feel like you guys are just making up.
Rick
saying
Springfield.
Like actors
this
and movies names.
Vampire cop
like,
in Toronto.
These aren't real.
He was a vampire cop in Toronto, played by Rick Springfield.
In the movie.
In
Again,
the movie.
That could not sound more fake.
We just have to come up with our own stuff to talk about that they don't know anything about.
You seen The Muffin Man?
That's
a great one, that old horror movie.
Well, if this helps you understand the quality.
Harvey Keitel plays an elf with Eric Estrada.
The quality of Forever Night was such that it was usually shown back-to-back with Highlander and Renegade. So that's where it lived. But I thought it was fun.
It is
you
the
used
best.
To think Highlander was fun, too.
I still think Highlander the series is fun.
I have that whole box set of Forever Night. I've watched it multiple times.
I may have to borrow that because
love that
I would
show.
Love to watch that again. Anyway, okay, Ghoulies. So that's why they were wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It just sounded like a punchline to a joke. He was like, cut to a random scene of people in a cafe. It's like, and that's why they were wearing sunglasses.
So yesterday I was laid up on my couch because I fell down like an idiot.
You're lucky this isn't Sideshow Tangents. You'd own so many dollars.
Oh, wow. That's true. But I was late. So I was just watching all kinds of stuff. I watched Ghoulies again because I was bored, and then I saw that Dumb and Dumber was on streaming, and I love Dumb and Dumber. It's a feel good movie for me when I'm not feeling great, and that is exactly a scene in Dumb and Dumber. It's when Lloyd is imagining what it's going to be like to meet all of Mary's rich friends.
Yeah.
And they just cut to him, and he goes, "And I said no, but that's a really good looking ski mask," and everybody laughs, and that's it. That's the whole thing. But that's why they were wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. I liked the ones that had windshield wipers.
Those
I wanted those as a kid.
Oh, yes. Dick was wearing those.
There was clearly a cord that went somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe to like a battery pack or something.
Yeah, totally.
The ones that I saw had batteries. Like they had the really, really thick.
Oh, jeez.
What do you call that part? The
band?
The arms?
Yeah, the arms. And they had batteries in there. They weren't like in a separate.
Oh, man.
Interesting.
I feel like that was the trigger.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he had like the switch somewhere.
Well, because his hands were nowhere near it when it started to do the thing.
Yeah.
This is amazing audio right now.
yeah.
But Amy, had you ever seen Ghoulies before?
No.
All right. What did you think?
My viewing experience was very weird because there were parts of it, like in the beginning, I have a note, like it was at the title sequence and I was like, I love it and I'm all in. Like I'm in, this is great. I loved the part where he like takes off his horns, like the dad, he's mm-hmm. got like the horns and then he takes it off and it makes like a noise that I loved. And I was like, this is great. And his eyes were glowing and I loved it. And then like I oscillated between feeling like that and feeling bored.
Yeah.
It was weird. I did not necessarily agree either that the friends were real people. I liked it was like there's the sex one, there's the stoner one, there's the one that's like kind of in love with the stoner one. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That guy was like in love with that guy.
I feel like they were maybe like a couple, but not explicitly. Like they were
maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was enough like sweet moments between them
yeah,
that I was
and
like,
I was like, they're my favorite.
Yeah.
Then there's the Toad Boy.
Toad Boy.
What?
Which
what?
There's for
as if
reference
you guys
what that
never
means.
Had weird friends.
Oh, not we had weird that. Friends. You know what I wouldn't do with my weird friend? Put them in a movie. Or have a plot revolve around their weird quirk because it makes zero sense for the movie.
It was a man who talked like a little boy half the time.
But like randomly and for no real reason, and all of his friends seemed to hate it.
Yeah, but he seemed to think it was great. He was like, hi, guys!
Toad Boy's here.
Yeah.
I need food for my tum-tum!
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Somehow that dude keeps getting invited to their parties.
Somehow he keeps getting dates with Mariska Hargitay.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well,
what the hell is that?
It was her first movie.
It was.
It's also a movie.
I know, but like she talks about having the date. And then she says, you know, it got weird in his voice.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Like, she clearly is like, yeah, we tried going on a date. It didn't go well.
Did not go well. And
but let's
then
keep doing it.
Let's just keep going. Anyway, so, yeah, you were back and forth.
Yeah, I also, like, you know, there's some things that I loved. I have here a note about when they're at the grave. So when they first come to this new house, they're at the grave, a gravestone, and they're like, what's that? And she's like, ooh, that's creepy. Don't go near it. He's like, this is my grave now. I own this grave. And then she's like, oh, don't go near it, though. And then the very next line is, it must have been hard growing up without a family.
Just something you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a casual conversational thing.
Don't go near that grave. It must have been hard growing up without a family.
You're acting weird, which reminds me you didn't have a family.
That must have been hard.
I loved stuff like that, and I did like the friends. But there were just parts, I guess I was really confused, because I forgot to mention them in the plot dump. I was confused about, what were the ghoulies? What were they doing? Why are they so wet? Who did they serve? We had a conversation, where like, who, like, are they like, bad guys? Are they, like, little devils? I just didn't know what they were.
Are they invisible sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, why do you want them? That was one thing like that is not clear. Like the cult, little we know about it, it seems that they have summoned the ghoulies and the ghoulies do what the head of the cult wants them to do.
Right.
But it's not really explained what are the, other than jumping out and biting people's faces, like, why do you want ghoulies?
It seems like the ultimate goal is to like suck the youth out of the baby so that you can live longer.
Yeah.
Because that's like at the end he says he wants to like kill his son to like take his youth still. So like that seems like his ultimate goal is like living forever.
Yeah.
You see the example at the beginning and near the end. So yeah, it does bring into question what are the extra little monsters for?
Yeah. And what are the followers for? Like if it's
Yeah.
Is it like,
why do you join this cult?
And they said, like, she was upset. The woman at the beginning who saved the baby was like, you said no babies.
Yeah.
And he was like,
I mean, are they?
I'd say a lot of things.
Woman,
that was then. This
I say
now.
I'm not going to spend $600 on cool horns, but look.
Look at my horn. I could buy into the fact that, like, the cult is there for energy. Of some sort, or for something to cast the spell, because
they said they needed seven or something.
Something
like that.
Like that.
Yeah, it was the thing.
But something we haven't been really clear on is the fact that it's not that Jonathan, who is our protagonist, in quotes, we'll talk about that when Matt starts. But when he starts doing spells and stuff, what's really happening is he's kind of being possessed. kind by his father.
Maybe. Is that the curse? Because they say he's cursed at the beginning. They're like, oh, he's cursed, and maybe that's it.
Yeah, so because he kind of like doesn't know, he just knows how to do this stuff.
Yeah, a lot of books.
He did, but it's...
He like glanced at one book.
And then he knew by heart all of it.
Yeah.
But I like the idea, like, I really do like the idea of him like, I'm dropping out of college to fix this fucking house. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. this guy's going crazy.
Yeah,
I would have liked it to be a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Of a slow burn, but I did like the, I even like the scene of him like finding the mm-hmm. seal on the mm-hmm. ground and everything, like that was cool. But nobody in here except maybe his girlfriend to me acts mm-hmm. like a human being.
Yeah.
No,
she tries.
She tries.
My early note about Becky was Becky rules, and it's probably gonna die. Because that's just how these movies work.
Yeah.
She technically did.
Everyone kind of died and then didn't.
Yeah.
And
then they came
except
back.
For Jonathan.
It was a happy ending. Everybody got out of this movie. Spoilers.
Except for the dad.
Yeah.
He was my favorite
part. He was dead
already. I wish he was in it more. I liked the dad a lot.
He was very flamboyant.
Yeah. He was wild.
He was really into it.
Yeah. He was in a different movie.
Yeah.
He owned that robe. That cape.
He brought it with him to set. Like, no, guys, I've got this.
We didn't ask you to bring that.
Don't you think it would be great?
Kiss me, my son.
That was another weird line.
I'm the director. Please, no.
Yeah, cut. What are you doing? What's going on? Okay, so you have 50-50.
Yeah, I would say.
Okay. We also had a similar incident with this movie.
An incident?
Which is... It's hot in Montana right now. Most of us don't have AC, so we've got our windows open. Mm-hmm. There is a scene in this movie where everyone just screams. They're just mm-hmm. standing there screaming.
Well, he tells them to.
Yes,
he
I know.
He needs their scream energy.
But it's, it is annoying, but it was also really loud. And my neighbors, I almost share a window. Like, I mean, my neighbor's window is open and mine is open. I'm like, I better turn this down. This is...
I had to watch with subtitles because there were a couple of parts that were very, very loud. And then the talk, they were like, oh my God.
Especially, I feel like in the last act, there was a lot of like really quiet parts. And then all of a sudden, just like someone would break through a wall. And you're just like, oh my God.
It was so jarring.
Yeah. Bad mix. This is a bad mix.
It's a very bad mix.
Not yeah. good.
God, I keep touching my knee. Ow. it was just funny because I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry for my neighbor. That was just people. He's watching the screaming movie again. Oh, good.
I live next door to a firehouse, so.
Oh, Jesus.
The sound, it's like, no, it's going to be sound. It's just happening. They're going to make noise all the dang time, so.
The sound is just happening.
It's happening.
It's just happening. All right, well, Matt.
Yeah.
What was your experience with Ghoulies?
I didn't like it.
Not even a little.
Not really.
Oh,
no. Those sweet gloopy babies.
No, I hate goop. I hate being sticky. I don't like.
I am
you
also.
Did this movie make you sticky?
No, I just don't like the idea of like touching something that's sticky.
You don't know that they were sticky.
They looked sticky.
They looked pretty sticky.
They just looked wet.
I mean, but they're goopy.
Yeah,
goop like, is sticky.
That's not just water. Whoa.
No,
what?
That's right. Slime. Slime. Mm-hmm. If you get the slime, it just...
Lubricant.
Bloop.
Yeah.
Well, fine. Maybe they weren't sticky.
They might have been slippery.
To be fair, the Ghoulies are the thing I like hate the least about this movie. So
well, that's good.
That's
they're
fine.
The title characters.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be.
No.
What else would you call it?
The story of Jonathan.
Kiss me, my son.
Yeah.
Devil Dad.
Devil Dad. I think that's a more accurate title.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had the opposite reaction of you, Amy, to the beginning of the movie, where I was immediately like, I'm out.
Oh,
like,
man.
From the get-go, because you open with this scene where I'm like, okay, this isn't even trying to tell you... Like, basically, there was no shred of mystery to anything in the first, like, 10, 15 minutes of this movie. And I'm like, okay, I feel like I know where all this is going at this point. And then the super lighthearted credit music didn't fit anything.
Like polka.
The music was a little weird.
It was very, it fit Gremlins. Like, it would make way more sense with like the Mugwai having fun and that opening credits scene. But like, we get a demonic like ritual followed by lighthearted polka music followed by your father's dead, you have inherited his house. And I'm like, All right. None of this. Like, if it did the thing where it came out of the credits and then was like fun teens romping around, it would have fit a little better. But that was not what it did. Because then, yeah, we got the 40-year-old Letterman's jacket man.
That man is my age. Yes. This movie.
And he shouldn't be wearing his Letterman sweater around.
When he was like, I'm leaving college, and I was like, oh, it must be like, he's
a
like,
professor.
He's
a non-traditional
well,
student.
Thought, yeah, I thought maybe he like, it was continuing education, or like, you know, he went back to get some degree, and then she was like, I'm in college too, and I was like, oh, maybe they both did, and then I was like, no, he's supposed to be 25.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
no. All his friends are supposed to be in college.
They're supposed to all be college age, and the actors are not fooling anyone.
1984, that's just...
There were no people college age.
There
were. That was the
exist.
Problem. They had to
That's why people are so so mad about millennials now, because they exist.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was no one under the age of 30 at that time.
Nope.
So, it's so weird, though. Like, he's obviously, like, a more than an adult.
Yeah.
Like,
I think we looked it up, and at the time, he and the dude who played his father were only a few years apart in age.
Yeah.
That looks right.
Mm-hmm. They look like they could be brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, is that the catalyst for this movie? His father had just died?
Yeah. That's why he gets the house.
So why is he so, like, decrepit when he comes out the grave? He hasn't been dead that long.
Excellent question,
that
Amy.
That is a great question. I mean, yeah.
Evil decomposed him real fast.
I think it's the evil.
I thought he'd been dead for a long time and that like somehow he just got that. I don't know.
But wait, now I have questions.
I don't have answers necessarily.
Yeah, no, they don't really explain a
lot
of that.
Why is Jack Nance living there?
They don't tell
you. Why is Jack Nance in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's great.
Well,
and
one,
they
he plays a character named Wolfgang.
To fight a wizard.
Who all he does is in the opening scene, he doesn't really save the baby, but he takes the baby away from the house.
No, this is one of my fixes.
And
is,
then he shows back up when they get to the house to be like, hey, I'm here.
But, he doesn't say anything.
No.
He's the narrator, though.
Yeah.
But then he shows up at the end to fight off Devil Dad.
Yep.
Okay, but no, my question is, who owned the house?
The cult.
But not the father?
The dad owned the house.
I think the dad owned the house.
But if the dad owned the house, what the hell was Wolfgang doing living there?
Yeah.
Because Wolfgang is supposed to be...
I think he probably just moved in.
We don't really know that he lives in the house. He might live nearby. They saw him on the grounds. I think he's groundskeepering.
I think this movie has some...
It didn't care. The movie does not care.
The movie's not good?
The movie's like, we still want Jack Nance in this. Why is he here?
I thought he raised raised Jonathan.
That's what Wolfgang raised him.
Okay. Yeah.
He said he was like the only parent figure he had.
Okay. Yeah, so, that's what I thought. Yeah.
But where?
Another house.
But Wolfgang.
Does Wolfgang live in the house? Do we have confirmation of that?
I feel like he does.
We don't ever see him.
The room they keep cutting to is definitely decorated by Wolfgang.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But is that in the house?
It seems like it's in or near.
Yeah.
Like he could live in a
like a like
know,
a groundskeeper.
Yeah.
House.
Like a but he took
we
and he
know.
Raised
Yeah, no.
You're
Plot
welcome.
Holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode.
Nice.
Anyway, sorry,
let's
Matt.
Let's get dinner.
Yeah, I hated Wolfgang as well because he was completely useless. I don't care who plays it. It's a useless character.
He could disappear and reappear, though, in a pink cloud.
Yes.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. And he could shoot lightning out of his eyes. Yeah.
Why wasn't he useful earlier on?
Oh, he was busy.
What?
He was out of town.
It didn't work for the plot.
Yeah.
He had to record a lot of narration.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in the ADR booth.
He's just, and then they, oh, gotta go.
They need me.
This is my scene.
That's what he got out of the ADR booth and just, they're fighting now? Shit.
Yes. I'm late.
Hold on, I gotta get my robe.
That's why they made it so he could disappear and reappear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was charging his lasers that whole time. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's why he had to be away.
Yep.
He was plugged into a USB charging station.
He couldn't leave the wall. He had a very short cord.
Oh, God.
But he, didn't like him. Our main character was a terrible protagonist because the only thing he wants is to be bad, and there's nobody fighting him on that. So we don't have anyone to root for in this entire movie.
I mean, you kind of root for his girlfriend.
I do, until he brainwashes her and she's useless.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Which is exactly what, pretty much what I expected. It was like, they're either going to kill her or she's going to, like, forgive him or whatever. And he, like, brainwashes her and then she's like, yes, I will help you.
Kind of all three of those things.
Yeah. I really liked that she left. I was very surprised that she left.
Yeah. I was so excited
she
for
was
her
like,
to leave.
No, fuck you. Yeah. I'm out. And I was like, yeah. And then he was like, no, you're not. And she's like, no, I'm not.
But it wasn't. That's the other thing. It wasn't even him. It was the other two little people.
Yeah. The little people minions that were like kind of helpful, but then also not.
Yeah, no, their whole deal was confusing.
Were they also ghoulies?
No.
No.
Okay.
Where did they come from?
They were like medieval little people that showed up because he conjured them. And then I was, when he conjured them, I was like, okay, does he need ghoulies still? Because he has like more competent minions now who will do his bidding.
Yeah.
And then actually get shit done.
And then it turns out they were double agents.
Yeah.
Kind of?
Well,
maybe?
At the end they're helping
him.
They
felt very conflicted about it for some reason.
This movie sucks, guys. This movie's so bad. But for all the reasons I've already said, but mostly just because, again, like there's nobody to root for. There's nobody to like.
The ghoulies.
No.
Eyeball ghoulie scared me.
The toilet monsters. And eyeball ghoulie is the only ghoulie I really enjoyed.
Oh,
because he's just constantly like looking around like,
it's a real the character design is really good. Like he's just given so much crazy face the whole time.
Yeah. It's like clear, like most of these puppets didn't really move much.
Right.
Besides their mouth.
Yep. Especially during the fight scenes, because there was the one where I think the toad guy gets attacked by one of the green baby ones. And he, like, I'm like, this is a baby. And you're being killed by a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of the ladies is getting attacked and she's standing up totally within like kick in the face distance. And then she like backs up and then sits down to be closer to it.
She
it's like
slides down
lady,
the wall.
Classic mistake here.
Classic horror movie.
You could have jumped over that thing and been out of there.
Yeah.
Like come up with a little creativity. Have it come out of the tree, you know, and surprise the person at least.
Oh man. Yeah. I was surprised to see that this movie does the phantasm thing where the evil person pretends to be a lady in order to make out with someone to kill them.
Oh yeah.
Which is such a weird conceit.
I forgot about that.
It lasted like 5 seconds. So
and then
come
it was
here.
Tongue
and he's like,
strangle.
It reminds me a little bit of
tongue strangle.
This one, which is actually a pretty fun effect.
Yeah.
I will say. Like
that was fun.
I remember when it happened. Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, so
and like
weird.
The weird like so it's her face, and then it's like some kind of mask.
It's like a
not her face for a hot second, and then it's like, whoop, and then it's him.
Yeah,
and it's great.
And then it's her with like a fake tongue. She's just holding it in her mouth, like, whoa.
And it's great because it's not just strangling him.
It's garroting him, too.
Yeah, he's bleeding.
Yeah. So weird. They ripped that off for Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Hmm.
Didn't they ripped it off?
Yes.
When did Nightmare on Elm Street 3 come out?
I don't know.
I do not know.
You've got your computer open.
Yeah, I don't care enough.
You're on
the wrong
podcast.
I didn't ask you if you cared.
87.
Aha! They ripped it off.
That's not how things work, though. It doesn't mean they ripped it off just because it also happened.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Yeah, I feel like it happens in tons of cartoons way before this.
They all, and then Ghoulies ripped that off.
Nothing's original.
Nothing.
Except Ghoulies.
The only original thing, and
only
it's ghoulies. Terrible. That's why you don't do original things, because they're terrible.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
That's right. No, because then that would be original. Man.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, man.
Whoa. Whoa. What a terrible thing to say.
Can we talk about how none of these friends belong in the same friend group?
Yes.
I don't know if that... I don't feel like that's inherently true.
Mm.
As much as it is in other media.
At least the two drug addicts.
Yes.
I mean, we've all got friends that have done drugs, probably.
Yeah, but not... That's all they don't do anything else through the whole movie.
Why is
so
anyone...
So we only see them at parties.
Well, one was a dinner party.
That is true.
And at the dinner party still, like, they're incapable... I just don't believe that... that those two guys were at the same party as everyone else.
Maybe they all like grew up in small town together. You know, like they're weirdly friends because they're all townies still going to the same university. But
that's why Toad Boy gets invited still.
Yeah, it's like, well, totally.
I've known Toad Boy since we were four.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to invite him.
Exactly.
Okay, I would believe that for Toad Boy.
But I think, like, again, I think what you're saying makes sense with, like, I believe them showing up at the big party because just like,
yes,
it's like 80s high school movie parties. Everyone in town shows up and no one knows who's actually there.
Yeah.
But for the dinner party, he explicitly invites them. And for the like the seance thing after the party, they are still there.
He is, when he's inviting people, planning on killing them.
That is true.
So,
but they are also part of the group that stays afterwards when he's like, I'm going to show you guys something cool.
True.
Like, let's play Trivial Pursuit and then call the devil.
Yeah, and they made fun of him at that, and so then he invites them to the murder party.
Yeah, he did scream at them multiple times.
They definitely seem like they're part of the friend group.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm saying that doesn't work for me. I'm saying that feels lazy. It feels like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had some druggies? That'd be funny.
They were a cute couple, though.
They were
a couple, they're fine. But much like the father is in a different movie, I feel like they're in a different
movie.
They're
a little bit in like they're like in a Breakfast Club or 16 Candles like comedy. Mm-hmm. Like some of their jokes, like they're the side characters.
Yeah. Definitely 16
like,
Candles.
Hey, dude, don't Bogart that joint.
That
is a line that one of them
said.
Top tier comedy.
Smart screenwriting.
But he's also saying that to what he believes is the guy standing there with his back turned to him. But when it turns around, it's actually a ghoulie in a trench coat.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's the little people.
Yeah, it was the little people.
Oh, was it? I thought one of the ghoulies was involved.
I think ghoulies were in there too. They were just all
the face.
There was like six ghoulies and two little people
all
in a trench coat.
That should have been the name of this movie.
Stacked up in a trench coat.
Six ghoulies and two little people in a trench coat.
That one.
Amen. So those, I don't know. The friend thing doesn't work.
I think as someone who grew up watching Power Rangers, I accepted very early on friend groups in media that made zero sense. Because that friend group is nothing but the nerd and the jock, the most popular and the least popular person in school, are best friends.
But they're all forced to become best friends,
aren't
they?
No, they're friends first.
Really?
They hang out at the juice bar together.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Nick, you don't want to go toe-to-toe with me on Power Rangers knowledge.
Asking you is more like asking the universe. Like, really? You make it so they're misfits, and then you have to get them together.
No, they were teenagers with attitude.
The nerd with attitude. Yeah, that's a... Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I'm so tired.
I just think out of all the things to nitpick in this movie, that is like the least offensive.
It's the thing that really kicked me out of it, honestly.
Oh, weird. When friendship wasn't believable enough.
I didn't believe it then. I didn't believe it when they start doing that, you did a hokey pokey downstairs. And then you have Dick who you can just call him Dick. What the fucking, like, there's a way that line could have been delivered, I think, that was funny. But the way it's delivered in the movie is just like a dead weight hitting the ground. It's just
like, my name's Dick. You can call me also Dick.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
That's it.
But I think I thought that was the point of that line specifically, because he's trying to impress that girl and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I don't believe him.
It does ultimately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because he's the worst. Like, through the movie, he's like, he's looking for the missing girl and he's freshening his breath. He's like, they're about to play a game and he's like looking at condoms in his wallet and he's like, hey. And like,
well, and
nobody
after they sleep together
guy,
is when he goes and makes out with
Devil
Dad.
Like, yeah, super
good
weird.
Good to be Dick.
Well, and then he goes to directing and acting when they're looking for Robin.
Who just disappears?
Who just disappears?
No real reason?
Yeah, it's
and
never.
Didn't nope.
No, it's
it
never.
It seems
real
like it's a creepy thing at first.
Right.
Like, he did a séance. Nothing happened. But Robin's gone. And turns out she just went outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible.
it's really bad.
Absolutely awful. And so I don't believe. I don't know why these people hang out together. Now this is not to say in reality, odd coupling and, you know, friendships can't happen. Of course they can. But in a movie, in a story that's being told, I need it to make some sort of sense. Otherwise, I'm just going to be sitting there and going, because like if I do have some friends that are very much not like me, but there's a story to how.
Well, your friends are complex humans.
Yes.
They're not just one dimensional.
Sure.
The sex one, the stoner one.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the lady one.
It's like in Cabin in the Woods, you have the archetypes. They just like filled in the blank and put them in there.
Yeah. Though, and it's funny because Matt and I just did a commentary for Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. I just watched that the other day.
It holds up.
It's very good.
Fun.
Very fun.
But it is an interesting thing how it is revealed throughout that film how they know each other and that they, you know, that they've known each other for a long time, and it's revealed through interactions. It's because it's a well-written movie.
Yeah. That is true. If you had made it where like one of the druggy guys was like Becky's brother or something, like that gives it a little bit more credence of like, I know my brother is a jerk, but I had to invite him.
Yeah. Thank you. That would have been it. I would have been fine. Yeah. If they'd have just said that, it's like, what are we doing? Because there's that moment where he's like, what are we doing here? He's like, oh, there's friends and drinks. And then, well, what if there's not? We're going to find other friends.
Yeah.
It's like if he'd have just said something like, oh, it's my sister's place.
Yeah.
Well, it's her boyfriend's place. Mm-hmm. But they're almost married.
Break dance!
Yeah.
That was amazing.
And all of the pills fall out of his pants.
It just looked like penny candy.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was really supposed to be like drugs Tylenol falling out of him until like they like stopped and focused in on him. Like, oh, okay.
But then nothing happened.
No.
Like, I thought he'd be like, ooh, like everyone's going to go. And it was just like, okay.
Yeah, like he's a piñata.
Yeah.
But okay, see, that also, that would have made more sense if like, oh, everybody's a druggie. He's just a little more flamboyant than everyone else.
He's the coolest dealer in the world. If he just shows up, he's like, all right, somebody called for delivery, and then breakdances and just like shoots the drugs around.
See, that would have worked. That would have made that.
And I'm out.
Yep.
I would have believed that. And that's like, there's a moment in, well, it's not a moment, but there's a character in Vanishing Point who is like, the whole thing starts with the driver Kowalski making a deal with his drug dealer. And you learn more about this drug dealer as you go on, and he's just a really nice guy. Like, he's a drug dealer. He's probably done some shit, but overall, he really wants Kowalski to be okay. Like, that's it. So you could do that with whoever this character is. I can't remember his name.
Oh, I don't know any of their names except Dick.
I know Dick and Rebecca.
Jonathan.
Yeah. I know. I don't know what the father's name
like
is.
There might have been a Mike.
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
Yeah. Jack Nance.
I only know that because of the subtitles.
Oh, yeah. I only know it because Sarah said it, and I was like, oh, his name is Wolfgang, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's also, like, out of the names in this movie, is the most memorable of names.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan's not.
Jonathan, Mike, Rebecca, Wolfgang.
This is the thing, too. I got confused because Jonathan doesn't call her Rebecca all the time.
He says Becky.
He says Becky a bunch, and then Rebecca, and then other people are Becky and Rebecca. And I legitimately, the first time I saw it, was not sure what her name was. Because I was like, oh, I thought it was Rebecca. What is he saying?
Well, isn't it the one that's like Robin and Bonnie or something?
Yeah.
And it's like, these names are just like not the same names, but they're close. Of like,
they have a lot of the letters.
You have Rebecca, Robin, and Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of shared letters there that just like name your characters different.
And two of them, like, if I didn't know Mariska Hargitay, I think that's how you say her last name. I've never said it out loud before.
No one ever has. Yeah.
I think it's Hargitay. I think it's Hargitay.
Hargitay.
I think that's how it's spelled.
Yeah.
For you Law and Order fans, let us know.
I've heard it both ways.
Was that a Psych reference?
It was.
Thank you. I appreciate that. See, you care.
Aw, that's so nice.
Well, I've been... Callie Moore, who is occasionally on the podcast and hosts the show Eons, and I are both huge psychos for the show Psych.
Such a good show.
And we've been told by my co-director that we are not allowed to talk about Psych anymore in the shooting because we don't stop. So
there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. And to just be, remember that one part? That was so good. Anyway. but I was going to say, both Bonnie and Robin, like, I know what Mariska Hargitay looks like. So I'm like well aware who she is. But back in 1984, these two women looked the same. Like, they have long brunette hair. They're dressed relatively the same.
I don't know the difference between the two of them because I don't know who that woman is.
Also, correction, it's not Bonnie, it's Donna.
Oh,
but
Donna.
Pretty much the same word.
Yeah.
Donna and Robin is worse, I think. Yeah. It's like, that's closer.
Yeah, the names we have here are Jonathan, Rebecca, Mike, Mark, Donna, Dick, Eddie, Anastasia.
What?
Anastasia, I believe, is the
oh, it's the mom at the beginning who saves the baby.
Yeah.
Is it her baby?
I think so.
I think that's his mom.
I assume.
I didn't think, because she didn't seem, I mean, maybe, but if it were my baby, I feel like I'd be more, she seemed upset that it was a child.
That it was a baby.
Not that it was her, she didn't seem, yeah I don't know though, but it totally could have been.
Yeah.
Unclear. But,
so she gets a cool name, and then, yeah, Robin. So the only people who get cool names in this are Wolfgang, you get Grizzle and Greedigut, who are the little people helpers.
Yes.
And then, yeah, that's
about again,
it.
Similar enough, like Grizzle and Greedigut, like,
but they're a duo. That made more sense to me.
They're a team.
That's fair.
I never learned their names. This is the first time I've ever heard them.
Well, he says, "What are your names?" And then they call me Grizzle. I'm Greedigut. And then that's
never
I
weird.
Yeah. So I don't believe the friend dynamics in any of this. That's my problem. I don't know if we've come to any conclusions here.
It sucks.
It was very fun. I would watch it again.
I'm 50-50.
Same.
Yeah. The nice. Couches are evenly split.
Ha.
So.
There were parts that I like super loved and like talking about. I'm like, yeah, that was great. And then there were other parts where I'm like, ugh.
Oh, we didn't talk about the end.
Yeah.
After the wizard's duel, they just kind of like decide, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
We're just going to leave this house I just inherited.
Yeah.
Won't have to deal with any paperwork with that, I guess.
No.
And they're driving away in
the
car.
Deal with whatever.
That's what realtors are for.
This would have made it make even more sense if that was her brother, because the drug dealer guy and Becky and Jonathan are driving away in the car, just the three of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan's like, oh, it's fine. And she's like, is it?
Yep.
Is it though, Jonathan? He's like, yeah, it's fine. And then the ghoulies jump up in the back seat of the station wagon. Mm-hmm. The either Mike or Mark, whichever one was the drug dealer, sees them, freaks out, freeze frame.
Yeah.
Movie over.
Leave it open for sequels.
Or because you don't have a better idea.
Yep. Either way.
Yeah.
I'm fine with being both.
I would like to imagine that the direct sequel of that moment is now Jonathan controls them and they're just little dudes and so they just hang out. And so
it's like the end of Mystery Science Theater where they all just live in one bedroom.
There's like an awkward car ride home where the drug dealer dude is just sitting in the back seat and all these little ghoulies are sitting next to him like, hey.
The one with the eyes.
Ghoulies
is just
at the carnival is just like the ghoulies wanted to go to the carnival.
Yeah.
So he's just like, fine, let's
Jonathan
go.
Jonathan and Rebecca have to take them to the carnival, making sure they all hold hands so they go get lost.
Everyone got your buddy?
Yep.
The second
people
one
end up throwing baseballs at them to try to win prizes.
The second one's a metaphor for parenthood.
Yeah.
I bet it's not.
It's
though.
Not. No, it's
and
not.
Probably.
We made a real beautiful story here today.
Yeah.
For some reason.
We did like a Sari fix.
We did.
We write a whole new better plot.
Indeed. All right. Well, at this point, let's. That may be the best way to fix it. I don't know. But let's move on to how we would each
fix it.
That
was a sequel.
It. Okay. That's all right. That fixes the sequel, which doesn't really need to be fixed. My fix for this is, I think that I wouldn't burn it down, even though I there's 50% of it that I don't like, but I would make it longer. I needed a longer, slower burn for Jonathan, because I agree with Matt. We don't really have much of a protagonist. Like they move into the house and within the next scene, he's already starting to become possessed or whatever. And doing shitty things, and it's not him anymore. And Becky's not our protagonist. Like
she could have been.
She
though.
Could have been, but she's not.
No,
in
but
this
that
movie.
Could have been a good fix.
There you go, Amy. There's a free fix. You can have it.
Thank you. I came up with it all by myself.
So, give me more time. Make this a slower burn. Like, there's not a lot of mystery and intrigue in it, which is, I think, something that somebody also said. There's no mystery here. It's all sort of laid out. So, yeah, that would be it. I would just like a slower burn to it. Sarah, what do you think?
I want them to make a few more decisions about what's happening.
Mm.
Like, what is the goal that the people have, why does the cult want ghoulies? What actually are they for? If they could tell us that would be, I think that would have helped the whole thing along. So we'd know a reason why these things are here and what they want. I wish it would have been a little clearer that Jonathan had grown up with Wolfgang and that maybe there was more of a like, oh, Wolfgang is cool. You've met him before. He's the person who raised me. And then, you know, when he came and saved them at the end, there would have been a little more of a like, oh, thank goodness. You know, they could have even had like a Shining thing where Rebecca tries to call Wolfgang and then it's taken him forever to get there because he was finally done with the house because Jonathan owns it now. He was taking a vacation and then they pulled him back, you know, that would have been great.
Actually, you're saying that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that would have been really good.
Yeah, because then he'd wizard fight, and you'd be like, that was what he had been training for this whole time. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I also love the idea of like her turning around, Becky turning around and being like, oh, Jesus, Wolfgang. And like she knows who he is.
Yeah.
That would have been.
It was weird that she did not know Wolfgang.
If you dated someone forever and they were raised by a dude.
A single person.
Who like lives around where you guys live close enough to drive to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would have met him. And you probably would have met him in a way that wasn't just like, oh, it's Wolfgang. He raised me, whatever.
Yeah. Like, this is pretty much my dad.
I know we've been dating a while.
He did not speak to
him.
He just
grunted. He was like,
which is very
didn't strange. Help the whole meeting.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
Did the necklace come into play in the movie?
Yeah.
The what?
He gives it to her.
Yeah.
But he then made a new one.
Oh, that's right. He made a new one.
I thought he just cleaned his, because his disappears after that. He's wearing it earlier, and then the house or whatever still like possesses him. Whatever possesses him,
something happens, and it either he gives it to her.
Yeah,
he puts it on her at some point because she's wearing like this big weird artsy necklace.
That's so cool.
But that apparently that has something to do with like the mind control, because he takes that off of her and puts the other necklace on her, and that's when she kind of becomes normal for a second.
Yeah,
because
the other necklace is resistance to evil powers or whatever. Yeah. And so when she's getting attacked by ghoulies, it starts glowing because it's working so hard, I guess. It's like batteries are running out.
It did electrocute the guy at the beginning.
Yeah.
On the baby.
Yeah. That's why I was like,
it's a good necklace.
I feel like it should have come into play a bit more like it did at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I just had that realization. I'm just like, that seemed really important in the first 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
But it does go into something that Amy brought up and something that I really liked was the scene where she basically tells him to fuck off and leaves and she rips the necklace off. I actually liked that scene because I liked her having the reality, this moment of reality of going, fuck this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what if she would have kept the necklace on? Maybe she wouldn't have been susceptible to the brainwashing.
I don't think she could have just left and she would have been out of the movie.
Yeah.
and that's definitely a thing. I like the scene. I like that she had a moment where she was like,
a character made a decision.
It's like the only one.
Yeah. It's the only time. And that was another moment in the movie where I'm like, oh, maybe I am going to like this. Mm-hmm. Like this is good. I'm with her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then no, it's just immediately reversed. And then she's just a mind slave and it sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so I want more purpose to all the cult stuff, all of the Lovecraftian kind of things. I want it to be a little more spelled out as why the things are happening, and then so they'd have a little more reason to happen, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Amy?
I agree with a lot of that. I feel like if you're going to call a movie Ghoulies, most of the questions when people are talking about the Ghoulies shouldn't be like, what are they? What do they do? What are they for?
What is the point?
What is the point of them? So I feel like just going in depth more on the Ghoulies, I do really like the idea of doing more with Wolfgang as well. Like maybe he tries to raise him. Like he knows that he's cursed and like is going to have to eventually fight his father. So maybe he like tries to like,
oh yeah, it's a Star Wars thing.
Jedi. Yeah, like good Jedi him. And he's like trying to prepare him for the future battle or something. I also do really like the idea, now that I came up with it all on myself, that it's like Rebecca's movie instead of like, and that, you know, has this boyfriend and he inherits this house and then like weird things started happening, and then maybe you get more of that slow burn because she's watching it happen and she's not really sure what's happening and like, do I stay, do I go, trying to figure that out. I think that would have been a lot more interesting than just like the movie being framed in the perspective of this guy who is theoretically mind controlled for most of the movie.
Yeah. Also, it would have been an interesting thing if like one of my great wishes, and it's not even a wish, but like one of the great what ifs that has been posed in the Star Wars universe is like, what if Luke had failed early on.
And it was Leia.
And it was Leia.
Like, watching New Hope the other day, I was like, what if this movie was... Because Luke's really whiny.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what if it was about Leia? And then I was like, oh.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, what if Wolfgang is like, no, Jonathan's gone. I need you, mm-hmm. Rebecca. He's under control. There's nothing, but we can do this.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what happens.
Yeah. No.
No.
Matt, how would you fix, or would you?
A lot of what you guys have already said, I agree with, of like extending the opening, giving us some more like understanding of who Jonathan is. So that way, like, when we see him start to change, we yeah. know that he's changing and not that he's always been a jerk.
Yeah.
Because it happens so rapidly that, like, we've got yeah. one scene of him pretty much being quote-unquote normal.
Yeah.
And then he immediately is, like, trying to summon the occult. And it's sure. like, well, yeah. let's see. This is maybe what he always is. I don't know. Is this, like, a ploy? Mm-hmm. Was he trying to get into this house to do this thing? I don't know what's happening. And I think the idea of making at least some of it more from Rebecca's point of view would be interesting, because you could have her like go off to school and not necessarily like go with her to school and watch that scene, but like cut away and then you have coming back from school and seeing what she sees when she walks into the yeah. house. So that way you're kind of seeing some things through her perspective, because what right. we get is watching everything happen from his perspective
yep.
and we get to see him dusting and drawing and mm-hmm. doing all these things and preparing for all this stuff that we're just like, okay, why are we watching the bad guy prepare to be bad?
Kick and, a bunch of stuff down the stairs.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest struggle with this film, is just I didn't feel bad for this guy that he was possessed. And I think that's maybe what the movie wanted me to feel, because we were supposed to like him early on, but they didn't give me enough time or information about him to like him. So
they also, I'm sure he's a perfectly good actor, but they cast someone with not a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I need to add to this is Jeffrey Combs was read for this part and didn't get offered it. Jeffrey Combs plays the Reanimator in Reanimator. He's a wonderful character actor. He's done all kinds of things, from Star Trek to he was in The Frighteners, and a wonderful actor with a lot of charisma. And I think he also looked way younger than this guy. But
yeah.
I think he, just it being him, would have helped this movie.
Sure.
I think that's, it feels similar to the problem I had. I think it was the Beyond the Gates episode we did.
Yeah.
I think in that one where I was like, this is a cool concept for a movie and could have been done really well, but you chose the most boring actor for your main character. And so therefore, I don't care at all. And so I think it was that on top of not even writing a character who I feel bad when he gets possessed, because I'm not even sure if he is possessed or if he just decides to be into this stuff, because
yeah.
there's
yeah.
no moment when you see the switch flip mm-hmm. and
yeah.
we get one small shining like human moment where he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll stop doing this. Please stay. I want you to stay. And the next scene is him like trying to sex her to hell or something. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm not even sure what was happening.
I don't, they were starting to have sex. There was ghoulies under the bed.
Well, okay, I got the sex part.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's right. I forgot about that scene.
Like, they're in bed and he gets on top of her, and then suddenly he starts like chanting all these yes. like spells mm-hmm. while the ghoulies are under
to
the bed.
What end?
Yeah.
I know. Like, is he trying to produce an heir that they can sacrifice? I mean, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, at least if he would have just said that,
yeah.
like, give me an heir. We'd be like, all right.
We've been like, whoa, we need to have a conversation about this.
Yes. I would have understood it, though.
Yes, it would have made yeah. more sense in the scene. But
instead,
I could have at least,
like,
I could have gone the rest of the movie going, aha, I understand yeah. what
it's
he
just
wants.
Like, he's been reading a lot of books. He thought he might be into something. He
because
wanted to try it, but he didn't talk to her about it first, made his wishes clear, and so it got weird.
Yeah.
It's about See? Consent.
And he doesn't mm-hmm. have any
and
motivation.
Communication.
Yes. Yeah.
See, we don't know, like, does he want an heir? Does he want to bring his daddy back to life? Does he, what does he want?
Was he trying to banish her to hell? What is happening?
Who knows?
He just wants to kiss his dad. Kiss me, my son.
Kiss me, my son.
Yeah. Ghoulies, kiss your dad square on the lips.
Yes.
That's how I'll fix it. I don't know what I said.
Excellent. Yeah. You're
perfect.
Oh, man.
All right. Now let's move on to how
did
we
you
would
do
each...
a fix?
I did. I started.
Started.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought of a a remake idea.
Oh.
Like, instead of it being people who are in college, they are...
You couldn't see the massive finger quotes that...
You could hear them, I think.
Yeah. I think you
That breeze you just felt while you were listening to this episode, that was Sarah's finger quotes.
Yes. Instead of that, it's a couple that have gotten the house super cheap, like bank foreclosure,
like
and they're going to flip it for a TV show. And so she's like very into flipping it. She's got to do like stuff with the TV people. And so he's supposed to be in there doing contractory work. And she keeps coming home and he hasn't done anything. And so it's like stress in their marriage. They've got the producers breathing down their throats. And then like, there are ghoulies.
And it starts kidding Joanna Gaines.
Yeah. And they're, and that's why they're the people in the house is the crew from the TV show. And yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
That is a great remake idea.
Yes, yes.
That is, I would like, even that idea, if you moved it to Amityville, if they wanted to reboot Amityville, or if you wanted to, that, I guess you couldn't because it's goofy and silly, and and Amityville's not silly. But but this, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of, like, Ghost Hunter shows.
Yeah. And they've never merged with the Flippin' House show?
No.
They should have, though.
It's made me come up with, like, I'd love to make
that ghost.
I'd love to make a comedy Ghost Hunter show.
That's what they all are.
But that's the thing. Like, I can't because they're already
Ghost Hunters International.
They're all so silly anyway. It doesn't.
Do you want to know a secret about at least some Ghost Hunter shows?
Ghost
I don't know about all of them.
Okay.
But friends of mine who have worked in television at a party, they said they were talking to people who produce on some shows like that. At least some of them, the way that it works is the people in the house believe that there is a crew of like 7 people that work on the show. They've met them. They've worked with them for all this time doing the show, etc. They think that those are the only people on the show. In reality, the crew of the show is more like 35 people that the hosts have never met. And those people rig the whole house before the host people get into it. And so all their reactions are real. They do think that this stuff is ghosts is happening, but it's the production team has rigged the house to give these real exciting expressions from this host person.
I hate that more than I hated ghost shows before.
Yeah.
I don't think that's across the board. I think that's...
No. That's at least one show.
Well, yeah. I can see it being one show. Mainly because all of the ghost shows I watch, there's nothing to react to.
Yes.
Nothing
happens.
I know somebody who's on one of them. It's called the RIP Files.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Nishant? Do you remember Nishant from the RIP Files?
No.
Okay, he's on like season 3 or something. I was on tour with him. But anyway, in that one, nothing happens.
Yeah.
They get static recordings. Like every once in a while, they'd be like, I think I hear something. I feel something weird.
Suddenly my stomach feels weird.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
But they take
Shouldn't have got Taco Bell on the way to the filming.
Shut up, Matt.
Yeah, the ghost of Chalupa's past.
They take like these, like the stat, like the, we're going to record. If you're here, say something, we'll play it back. Uh-huh. So they play it back and it's just static, but then they'll put words.
Yeah.
But it does not, like, it in no way sounds like a human voice, but it'll be like, and it'll be like, hello, my name is Jonathan. Would you like a snack?
Taco. Yeah, they usually, like, it's usually you hear something like they're static, you're shh.
Yeah.
And they're like, did you hear that?
He said leave.
He said get out.
We should go.
He said get out. But they don't hear it at the time. That's the thing EVP.
No.
EVPs, you have to listen to it later.
They still don't sound like anything.
Electronic voice phenomenon isn't on your wavelengths that you can hear.
Ghosts were just waiting for digital recorders.
They were.
The whole time?
But, like, I love that shit. I think it is so fun and fascinating.
I like the ones where there are reactions. Because the RIP files, no offense to the RIP files, nothing really happens. But there's one that I saw where a woman was in a house and she went in and she was like, the ghost just missed. The ghost just made me remember a time when I was like 8 and I fell down in my driveway and I skinned my knee and I just feel so attacked right now. Like, I have to leave this house. That's hilarious. And it's like still, this was when I was in high school and it's still like one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my entire life.
All right. So let's move on to how we would each rate this. We each have our own rating systems. My rating system is, which Star Wars movie is it? This is Return of the Jedi, because there's about 50-50. 50% really enjoyed it. 50% did not enjoy it all. So, yeah, that's it. Matt, what's your rating system?
My rating system is, what Batman movie is it? And usually I rate these of, like, how much I liked it and equating it to that. This doesn't really fall into any sort of Batman territory for me, so I think I'm going to go with a Batman movie that has plenty of plot holes if you want to dig at them enough, and also some not great special effects. And one that I personally like, but it's the 1966 Batman.
Oh.
Adam West. Because, yeah, just some things we were saying here about, like, the puppet quality and some of the plot holes and the way storylines don't really make a whole lot of sense. That movie does not make any sense, but it is great.
Yeah.
It's the one where he's running around at the bomb.
That is,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Some days you just don't have a place to dispose of a bomb.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amy, what's your rating system?
My rating system is, which Netflix original Christmas movie is this? This is actually the one Netflix original Christmas movie I have not seen. So
you're rating it as something you've not seen?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the more amazing fact is that she's seen all but one.
Yeah. There's like 8.
Okay.
So. But there'll be more every year. This rating system only gets better.
More refined.
I mean, that's the same with Batman and Star Wars movies.
Yeah, they're never going to stop. This podcast is stopping, though. So
that's true. We've only got like 6 more episodes.
I'm just going to rate everything in my life like this forever until I die. But because this movie, it's not really magic. It's magic.
It's got magic.
Eyes, yeah. Lightning bolts.
And they're like little gremlin-like creatures. So this movie is Christmas Chronicles. It's the one with Kurt...
Russell?
Russell, yes.
Oh! Okay.
Yes.
I know about this one.
Oh.
Yes, and it's I've seen like the trailer for it, but there's like little... creatures, I think they're supposed to be elves, but there's like little magical things all over the place, and there's magic and weird shenanigans. So I was like, eh, it fits.
Sure.
Why not?
Whoa.
All right, Sarah, what kind of jazz is it?
Yes, my rating system is jazz. This is ragtime. It's just all over the place. Crazy, ridiculous. Things are happening. People are going to wear straw boaters and jump around, and it's just having fun. It
makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. Well, let's move on to our final segment, which is Real Good, where we recommend something real good as in addition to or opposed to this thing. I will start with watch what I would call good Empire Pictures movie. I was going to say Reanimator, but you bring up a good point that might be hard for some people to take. There is a scene in there that's pretty impressive.
It's so upsetting.
It's very upsetting. But I would say check out From Beyond. Same cast and same director as Reanimator, so just a wonderful cast of actors. I don't want to say too much about it, because the less you know about it, I think the better you're going to be. So check out From Beyond. Amy, what's your real good?
Oh, no. I had a hard time with this, because it doesn't really... I usually try to go based off like what it reminds me of, and it didn't really remind me of anything. But because it's kind of like in like that culty vein... I did just go see Midsommar, which was bonkers.
I heard nothing about this until I've heard 3 people in like the last 3 days say this is a bonkers movie that I should see.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it. I still am not sure if having left the movie, if I liked the movie. But while I was watching it, I was all in. And it's just like bonkers, and it's like a cult. Yeah.
Okay.
If you like weird horror movies, and if you liked Hereditary, it's the guy that did Hereditary.
Oh, okay. I have not seen Hereditary yet.
Also great. The end's kind of a hot mess, but it's great and deeply upsetting. Okay. They're both pretty deeply upsetting in different ways.
All right. I'll take deeply upsetting for a horror
deeply
movie.
Upset.
You know, that is the thing, though. Like, sometimes I do. Sometimes I want to watch a deeply upsetting horror movie.
Yeah.
And some people don't, and that's fine.
Yeah, don't see it if that's not me. What you want.
I'm the person.
Sarah, what's your real good?
Yes, I was thinking, like, 80s, sort of gloopy and fun, Fright Night.
Ah.
Go watch Fright Night. It's so good. It's so fun. So 80s.
It's very 80s.
Lots of gloop. Lots of good, crazy, weird house and silliness.
Yeah.
It's great.
Chris Sarandon is in it, and you know him from The Princess Bride. He played the Six-Fingered Man. No, ooh, not the Six-Fingered Man. The Prince Humperdinck.
Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's say. Yeah. Six-Fingered Man's Christopher Guest.
Correct.
Yeah.
Two Chrises. Mm. Who knew?
Too many.
Fright Night's great, though.
Yes.
I actually like the remake, too.
The remake was pretty fun. Yeah.
It's not... they're different movies, which is great. Anyway, all right. Matt, what's your real good?
I was looking at 1984 as like a year, and it's like the best movie year.
It's a good year.
Ever. Like, I mean, 94 was also pretty good. But like,
just read those.
84, you've got Ghostbusters, Gremlins, Terminator, Karate Kid, Temple of Doom, Beverly Hills Cop, Nightmare on Elm Street, Amadeus, 16 Candles, Romancing the Stone, Revenge of the Nerds, which I tossed in there for some reason, The Neverending Story, Spinal Tap, Police Academy. It's a crazy year for movies. And so I had a tough time choosing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go with the one that has better puppets. And that's Muppets Take Manhattan, which came out in 1984.
You're not even going with Gremlins.
No, that's the obvious choice.
It's
true.
Choice.
That's
so,
very
yeah,
true.
Go watch Muppets Take Manhattan.
Is it bad that I've never seen Gremlins?
No.
No.
Okay, cool.
The sequel is very fun.
Okay.
I like the first one better.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're not like... they're not like a horror movie type thing that you should avoid because it's badly made or upsetting in any way.
Oh,
like,
I think
it's...
Gremlins was also one of the ones that pushed for a that pushed people to a PG-13
because
there's some harrowing moments in there. And there's a really sad, upsetting story that Phoebe Cates tells.
Yeah. But it's not like a horror movie thing. It doesn't make it R-rated.
No.
Yeah. She has a sad story about her family.
But if I was a kid, when I was a kid and I watched it, I was like,
But no, Gremlins is enjoyable.
Yeah, Gremlins enjoyable.
I know the rules. That's all I know about Gremlins.
Well, that's, you do need to know those because you never know.
When you might discover a Mogwai.
Yeah.
Don't get them wet. Yep. Don't feed them after midnight.
Yep.
And there's a third one. Oh, something about light.
Well, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't sunlight?
Don't put
sunlight
them in the
kills
light.
Them.
Oh, no. That's probably not it, I don't think, guys. I think we messed up. Is that it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? None of us sounded very sure.
They can't go outside at all?
That's how he kills them.
Oh, okay.
Once they're gremlins, though.
Once
when
they're
Mogwai, can they see sunlight?
No, that's when Gizmo...
I do know one of them's named Gizmo, too.
He's the cute one.
He's a really cute one. I know a couple people who have corgis named Gizmo. And
that seems appropriate.
It looks correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't get them wet. Don't expose them to bright light. And don't feed them after midnight.
Oh, really? Just bright light?
Yeah.
Well, dim light's fine.
There's a scene. Yeah. Well, they're in, like, houses. They're not in pitch black all the time.
Yeah.
But there are scenes where he, like, a lamp turns on. And
that's
like,
true.
Bright light! Yeah. Bright light!
It's just, like, certain lumens.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yes. Number of foot candles away.
Yeah. And... but I also remember, like,
light
being...
light meter out, be like, hey, you're okay.
I remember being horrified when Stripe was melting. Like, that was...
Spoilers.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching this movie with me. I really appreciate it. And Sarah, where can people find you?
Oh, I am occasionally on Don't Close Your Eyes Live Radio Theater, which you can get on podcasty things.
Cool.
It's radio theater that was recorded live.
But
as
it's
the name
not live
suggests.
On iTunes.
Yes.
Excellent. Amy?
I'm nowhere.
Ooh,
you,
mysterious.
You make videos for SciShow.
I make videos for SciShow. I am on social media, but I don't remember it. I changed it, finally, but I don't remember what I changed.
You did. I was like, who the hell is this person?
So.
Perfect. Matt, tell us about your 14 podcasts.
I mean, the only one that really does anything besides this one is my Disney Channel original movie podcast called Cooler Than Homework. So go check that out. We just did the most recent episode, I think, when you are listening to this, was Brink. So that means that Halloween Town is our next episode. And yeah.
Excellent. I can't wait till you get to the Even Stevens movie.
That's a ways.
I know, but
you're
I have thoughts.
A few years away.
I have thoughts.
Subscribe to Cooler Than Homework and hear the episode about that movie in like 2 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a bi-weekly podcast, so every other week you get an episode, and it's, yeah, it's going to take a while to get to Even Stevens.
Well, thanks for listening, and thanks to Black Duck Studios for recommending Ghoulies to us, and thanks to all of our patrons for voting. We'll have one more Patreon-selected episode, so make sure to vote next month. A real big thanks to Black Duck Studios, I Love It Podcast, Candace, and Anna Moss for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you so much. Real Bad is a part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. You can go to cageclub.me and check out podcasts like Cruise Club, where Mike and Joey watch and talk about every single Tom Cruise film. I'm on an upcoming episode to talk about my very favorite Tom Cruise film, Interview with a Vampire. Next week, not sure what we're doing, but we're doing something. And until then, this has been Real Bad.